Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Take the roll.
Thirty-four present, six absent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Guy is excused from the call today. Are the free conferees meeting, Mr. Speaker, or do you know? Mr. Speaker, I move that the free conference committee members be excused for purpose of attending the free conference committee meeting.
There's no objection. The free conference committee members will be excused while attending the free conference committee meeting. Record also show that Representative Metcalf is present. The prayer today is by Pastor Matthews of the First Baptist Church. Will the members please rise for the prayer? Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 101st day in House Journal Supplement Number 46.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 101st day and House Journal Supplement Number 46 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and the journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction to the House? Representative Montgomery.
Mr. Speaker and members of the House, it's my pleasure today to introduce to you two members from Anchorage, old friends and acquaintances there in Juneau, today representing and working with the Joint State Legislative Committee on Retired Teachers, Mary Carl and Emo Knowles in Gallery A.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, with the same group is someone I want to tell a story on. I get the time right, this would be about 18 years ago. I was taking a course in calculus at the University of Alaska, and I had a bad habit of sleeping through the classes, usually when I got to the classroom, but sometimes not even getting to the classroom. Not because the teacher wasn't a very exciting, vibrant, or competent teacher. Matter of fact, he's one of the most colorful professors in the history of the University of Alaska. Well, of course, I never do this sort of thing now, as the members here know quite well, but at least at that time, I was a much younger and less mature individual, and I slept through an examination once. And I found out there was someone else who had done the same thing, and we contacted the professor and his offices in the mathematics department that were then in the basement of the brand new Bunnell building. And he said, well, I'll schedule a re-examination for you and all of that. Well, everybody in the math class told us that, of course, we ought to look at the exam that he'd given, and we knew darn well that he was a crafty enough fellow, he would never give the same examination two or three days later so that we'd know what all the problems were. So we didn't look at them, and we showed up at his office, and he gave us exactly the same exam he'd given everyone else, knowing that we would think that way. And while we were sitting there taking the makeup examination, he got on the telephone, called up Dean Beislein, and ragged us around to our hearing while we were trying to take the exam with a time limitation about how he'd really schnookered these two sophomores in engineering. I'm talking about one of the most colorful professors, now retired from the University of Alaska, who has been Dean of Students, Marshal of the University, Professor of Mathematics, Head of the Alumni Department, or Alumni Association, and has written various articles and books on the history of the University of Alaska, and is also a graduate of the university. Somebody who taught me an awful lot about calculus, Bill Cashin.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, I have a group here from Mountain Village come down here to check us out with their chaperones, Yandy Vergen and Danny Waterman. The students are Harry Wild Jr., Willie Lawrence, Steve Stein, David Andrewok, Cora Hunter, Mary Jane Ascock, John Changsek, Nastasia Stafaris, and Alexi Vergen in Gallery 8.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, you and I have a constituent in Gallery 8 today, also in Juneau with the National Retired Teachers Association, Junior Love.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a couple of constituents from the Matanuska Valley, two members, a member of the Borough Assembly, Jim Ekstad. And Mayor Ron Larson.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pappy Moss has a constituent over here in Gallery B who's also from my area, Lee Daniels.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce two very dear friends of mine, Dorothy Isabel from Teller and Clifford Wiawana from Shishparap.
There are further guests for introduction. Messages from the Governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill number 176, thus adopting Senate Bill number 176 amended House, limitation of civil actions as applied to minors. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 66, providing an exemption for senior citizens from payment for land leased from the state with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 66 amended Senate new title and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed House Bill number 359 amended relating to salmon enhancement with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 359 amended Senate new title and transmitting same for consideration. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 14 Finance relating to agricultural development under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 14 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, co-chairman. Signing do pass, Miles, Osterbach, co-chairman, Carney, and Fuller. Signing do not pass, Chatterton and Eliason. No recommendation, Halford and Jaroff. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 14 Finance has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 81 amended, a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Division of Budget and Management for payment of RCA rate increase under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 81 and recommends it be reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman. Signing do pass, Freeman, Smith, Rogers, Moss, and Schaefer. No recommendation, Montgomery. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 81 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 118, small loans, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Commerce House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 118 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing due pass, Brown, Buchholz, Malone, and Parr. Signing do not pass, Phillips, Martin, Barnes, and O'Connell. Signing due pass, if amended, Anderson. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 118 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Bill 223 amended, homestead entry, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 223 and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Miles, co-chairman, concurred in by Halford, Miles, Eliason, Chatterton, Cotton, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbeck, co-chairman. Senate Bill 223 amended has no further referral. Excuse me. The Committee on Hess has had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227, Insurance for Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, signing due pass, Munson. Signing due pass if amended, Buchholz. Signing due pass only if the amendment holds, Barnes. Signing no recommendation, Miles, Hurlburt, and Chatterton. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 421 relating to conflict of interest under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. Report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing do pass, Malone, Anderson, and Martin. Signing do not pass, O'Connell. Signing no recommendation, Phillips. Signing do pass if amended, Parr. House Bill 421 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
The House please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests, Representative Eliason.
I'm going to steal some of Representative Osterbeck's constituents here, but I see a former member of this body in Gallery, a former Republican and a former Democrat, I guess. take your choice, Carl Moses.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to talk to Carl after the... Let him go the whole gamut.
Reports to special committees.
The Special Permanent Fund Committee has had House Bill 281 relating to non-renewable resource revenues to legislative oversight under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 281 and recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. Report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Hayes, Haugen, Chatterton, Malone, Freeman, and Schaefer. Rogers signed do pass permanently. House Bill 281 has a further referral to finance. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring James J. Hurley by Representative Carney. House Resolution Number 7 by the Special Agriculture Committee relating to geothermal resources.
Resources.
House Resolution Number 8 by Eliason, Anderson, Barnes, Bettesworth, Branson, Brown, Buchholz, Carney, Cotton, Duncan, Fuller, Halford, Haugen, Hayes, McKinnon, Malone, Martin, Metcalf, Miles, Miller, Montgomery, Moss, Munson, O'Connell, Osterbeck, Parker, Parr, Phillips, Randolph, Rogers, Schaefer, and Jaroff, relating to the membership of the Alaska Pioneers Home Advisory Board.
State Affairs.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 479 by Parr, an act revising the drug laws of the state.
Hess and Judiciary. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this is a point at which members frequently get up and ask a clerk to hold a bill for other sponsors. I would only like to say that the reason this bill has my name on it only is not because I am reluctant to have other sponsors, but anybody who introduces a drug bill is going to be the subject of some controversy from one direction or the other, and I didn't want to ask members to do this without having sufficient time to really study the bill carefully and see how much they're letting themselves in for, and we're too late in the year to hold it. So that's the reason I have not asked any of you to co-sponsor the bill. Thank you.
House Bill 480 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to the maximum length of salmon seine vessels and providing for an effective date.
The House, please stand. Will the House please come to order? We're down to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 228 by Parker, an act relating to health care services for needy persons. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 228 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 228 and reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, signing no recommendation, Chatterton, Miles, Barnes, and Munson, signing do not pass, Byrne, signing do pass, Buchholz. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 228 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Hess Committee substitute for House Bill 228 will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Metcalf. Is this by Metcalf and Parker? Metcalf and Parker. It's quite long. It's been duplicated and placed on every member's desk. It starts page one, line six.
Representative Brown. Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to explain the amendment. I'd like to move the amendment.
The amendment's been moved and objection is noted. Representative Metcalf.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, the bill, basically 228, immediately requires doctors to begin serving patients that are on Medicaid. And I don't think the state has the right to require a doctor to immediately begin serving these patients until such time the state also takes care of its problem, and that is its failure to pay timely. So that is part of, that is one half of the essence of this bill, or this proposed amendment. It first of all requires that it places a section 3 of this act takes effect immediately in accordance with the provisions of the state constitution. The section 3 basically requires the adoption of regulations under which physicians may refuse services to patients or persons seeking medical care based on the ability to pay for the service or manner of payment and services. So basically it gives them, the first part of the bill does not take effect until 1980. So what it does is it allows the doctors to sit down and consider the situation, and it puts them in a position that where they realize the legislature finds that it is a problem, but it does not demand that they pay or begin accepting these patients immediately. It gives them time to consider the problem and determine what they might like to do about it and make a proposal. And it also instructs the state to
to consider a private carrier for payment of their medical and Medicaid services. And what that gets around is the state's slowness in payment. It's directed to their slowness in payment. There are many states that use a private carrier to pay those bills, and they don't have the problem that we have. And if we can put this under a private carrier so that the bills are paid timely, then the doctors wouldn't have the problem that they've got right now in the first place. Largely the problem is the fault of the state. And then the incentive for them to come up with reasonable regulations to address this problem within themselves is that the bill, basically 228, slightly revised, would not take effect until 1980, and before that time another legislature would have the time to review their proposed regulations and therefore could repeal this act if they found the proposed regulations sufficient. But basically, if someone were to be against the Bill 228, I would suggest that they vote for this amendment anyway, because it does provide, in the event that the legislation does pass, provides a great deal more equity. It's a lot fairer to the doctors. And then, after amended, consider the bill.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm reluctantly going to vote against the amendment, and the reason is Section 2 of the amendment, which I agree with the concept that we should be paying interest on past due bills of the state. However, the Medicaid bills is only one part of that problem. We have, at the current time, the state pays no interest on old bills, on regardless of source. We have a bill that's scheduled for hearing and action in the House Finance Committee this afternoon, which would take care of that problem for all providers of any goods or services to the state. This would add a fairly substantial fiscal note to this bill, which I don't think is the intent. We are working on drafting the language such that we can keep the fiscal note down, and I do think that this could cause some problems if we pass this in terms of taking care of the other legislation. The legislation before us in finance is a Senate bill and would be reported back for action to the Senate. I do expect that to come out shortly.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I humbly apologize if I missed the answer to this question in the direct, but Mr. Speaker, through the chair, I'd like to ask the prime sponsor of the amendment, particularly the amendment to line 12, what is for a definition of essential non-elective medical care?
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, in the flurry to draft this amendment, we tried to find language that didn't require a doctor to come in and accept every patient that came along with for a checkup or some ridiculous little item. But on the other hand, when somebody is suffering from something that they find painful at night or something of that nature, or if somebody comes down with some sort of problem that needs attention but isn't particularly an emergency but does need attention over a reasonable and short period of time, that it should be considered. And I for one don't think the state should be paying for people's checkups, and that was what I was trying to find. It was kind of compromise language between my role in this has been largely trying to strike a compromise between the doctors and between both sides of this bill, the pro and the con, and I've tried to the best of my ability to reach a compromise between the two of them.
Representative Duncan. House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? question before the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1 to committee substitute for House Bill Number 228. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm moving to amend Amendment Number 1 by taking out Section 2. I think that we have a problem here where we're penalizing ourselves for our own mistakes. I'd like to shed a little light on the allocation of funds as proposed for fiscal year 1980. The governor's...
Representative Smith, are you... We do have an amendment on the desk.
And I'm moving to amend that amendment.
Okay, could we have the clerk read the amendment to Amendment Number 1?
Certainly.
Amendment to Amendment Number 1 by Rogers and Duncan. Is it also by Smith? Amendment to Amendment Number 1. Delete Section 2. Renumber accordingly.
That's fine, but I think we have different reasons.
Representative Smith, you may move the amendment.
I move the amendment.
Okay. Motion has been made to adopt Amendment to Amendment Number 1. Representative Smith.
Okay. Oh, I'm back on again. In Medicaid and General Relief Med, the legislature has been at fault for a great part of the situation. This is a 50-50 match of state dollars with federal dollars. And we have short-funded the department, albeit part of it has been their very poor projections of what they were going to need, and then they come back with a supplemental. But at the time that they've run out of money, they have not been able to pay these bills, and therefore they're not paying them. Section 2 requires them to pay a penalty for the fact that the legislature has short-funded them. And I think that's a bit inappropriate. As for what we're facing in FY80, they reviewed their, well, they initially submitted their request with the idea that they'd come in for a supplemental. And they began to realize that the Finance Committee just might not give them a supplemental next year. So they brought in a revised projection to the tune of Medicaid, $4.5 million, and General Relief Med, $2.9 million. The Free Conference Committee has short-funded their initial request in Medicaid and not allowed them the supplemental request. So you can guarantee that we're going to be caught in the 1 and 2% penalty that we're assessing ourselves for short-funding them. I submit that we're going to have to look first at giving them full funding before we can start penalizing the department for not paying. I think it's also important to note that should we short fund them, should we not allow them a supplemental, this is what will be lost. This is part of what will be lost. People will be allowed only one emergency visit to a or non-emergency visit to a doctor per month, and this includes women who are having children. Non-elective surgery. Hospital will be limited to emergency only. Catastrophic illnesses will be cut back. There will be no non-emergency medical transportation, and on and on and on. I don't think that that's what we're trying to do with the rest of this amendment. And I think that we should, you know, kind of get our house in order before we start assessing penalties. We're going to have to decide if we want these full costs covered and go to it from funding the department. Then if we find the department is negligible, it might be appropriate to assess the 1 or the 2% penalty. But I think as long as we're at fault, we have to address it from that standpoint first, and I would hope that you would vote to amend this amendment.
Representative Rogers.
Yes, I also support the amendment for three reasons. One is the reason brought up by Representative Smith. The reason that some of the bills from last year weren't paid is that the legislature last year didn't appropriate enough money. We've already passed the supplemental in this body. I'm not sure what its status is right now. I'm not sure if it's passed the other body or not, but there is a supplemental which would cover all those costs. Secondly is the issue of payments of interest on other kinds of bills by the state. You know, the doctors aren't the only people who are waiting for payments. Though something like 93% of the state's bills get paid within 30 days, the other 7% stretch out to as much as a year sometimes. There's also a problem with particular medical bills because sometimes there are other forms of insurance which pay part of it. So they submit the bill, but they're waiting for the insurance company to work it out before the state makes its payment. And I think that's one problem. And I think we ought to address the problem of interest on past due bills all at once. The third thing is, I don't know what the fiscal note on this is, but if we don't include a fiscal note with this bill, and there is none right now, there's no way to fund this except to take it out of other payments for Medicaid. So I would urge the adoption of the amendment to the amendment, but also urge that as soon as possible we take up another amendment which takes care of interest payments on all kinds of past due bills.
Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. You know, we've got past due bills to some people, but those people generally weren't required to provide a service by law. If we're going to require somebody to provide a service by law and we're going to pay them late, those people aren't in the loan business. They deserve a reasonable compensation for our mistakes. And I think that they have every right in the world to receive a sizable interest rate on late bills, especially considering that they are not incurring those bills by choice if this entire bill passes.
Representative Brown.
I'm between a rock and a hard place on this one, Mr. Speaker. Normally, I would be supporting Section 2. I do know that one of the clinics involved that was not paid on time had to take out a loan that was something like a 14% interest rate to continue their operations. Maybe I just have wax in my ears this morning because I normally don't like to buck my colleagues from Fairbanks, particularly the ones in the Finance Committee who've been working more attentively on this matter than I. Maybe I just need to hear one more time why I should not, why I should vote for the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Smith.
Well, to Mr. Speaker, to answer Mr. Brown again, it seems that it's kind of crazy to assess the department for not paying the bills if we don't give the department the money to pay the bills. So it's a matter of what's going to come first. And I think that we should direct the Free Conference Committee to put the money in that the department says they're going to need so that those bills can be paid, and then they can be paid in a timely manner. They have completely rearranged their accounting system and are doing real well over there compared to what they were doing. And part of that was because they didn't have any money. Another thing that they're working on that we've been kind of working behind the scenes to put this together since last January, the federal government requires that the doctors submit their bill and then the department has to verify each of the line item requests for money on the bill before the bill can be paid. So the department's spending all their time doing the legwork, getting the verification. We're trying to get the federal government to say that we can pay the bill, then do the verification and hold it against the next month's billing. And I think that that would alleviate a big part of the problem, too. But in repeating myself for the fifth time, the department is not going to meet its obligations if we do not fund the money for them to pay their obligations. And therefore, I think this should be removed until we clean up our house.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is all growing fairly complicated here, and what started out to be a simple idea, I guess that's not a new story in the state legislature. We came within three votes yesterday of passing it. We thought we'd sweeten the deal and pick up the extra three votes by paying the doctors interest on the money that the state justly owes them. For that reason, this section crept into the amendment. And for that reason, I urge you to leave it in and defeat the amendment to the amendment.
Question for the House is the amendment to amendment number one. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Fuller. Representative Hurlburt. Will clerk please take the final roll?
14 yeas, 21 nays, 5 not voting.
The amendment to the amendment has failed. The question before the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Representative O'Connell.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? There is a proposed amendment to the amendment. Will the clerk please read it?
Amendment to Amendment Number 1 by Parker. Add new language. Essential medical treatment is any care which, in the opinion of the provider, is necessary to prevent loss of life or limb or immediate pain and suffering.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, I would move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Objection is noted. Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, this would answer the Chevron objection, which I think was well-founded. It adds a definition for emergency.
Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, I would strongly be supportive of the amendment to the amendment.
Is there objection maintained? Representative O'Connell.
Mr. Speaker, could we have that amendment again, please?
Will the clerk please read the amendment to the amendment?
Amendment to Amendment Number 1 by Parker. Add new language. Essential medical treatment is any care which, in the opinion of the provider, is necessary to prevent loss of life or limb or immediate pain and suffering.
Is there objection? Maintained. There's no further objection. The amendment to the amendment is adopted. The question before the House now is Amendment Number 1. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to have to speak against and vote against the amendment. I look at the bill, it seems to me to be a reasonable approach, and I did support the original amendment to the amendment, which was defeated. That's the deletion of Section 2. I think we're being a little hasty on here when we start throwing around figures of percentage figures that are going to have to be paid without any examination of what those figures are, what the costs are going to be, no fiscal note on it. I think that's kind of a irresponsible approach, and I think that it would be a mistake under those circumstances of that language in Section 2 to adopt the amendment. And as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't, I can't see that it adds that much to the bill.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, I can understand Mr. Freeman's fears and those voiced by other members of the Finance Committee. The politics being the art of the possible, I just repeat again that's what it takes to get this amendment passed. So we're trying to sweeten the deal to give the doctors a little money for their back bills.
Representative Rogers.
Yes, it was pointed out during the last at ease that I was wrong about the fiscal note. Section 2 of the bill does not take effect till July 1st, 1980, which means there's a zero fiscal note for FY80.
Is there further debate? Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1 as amended. Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? The clerk may take final roll.
Excuse me. 28 yeas, 7 nays, 5 not voting.
Amendment Number 1 as amended has been adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 2 by Mr. Martin. Mr. Martin, has this been duplicated? Page 1, line 21. Add, the state government will reimburse abortion costs to low-income women eligible for Medicaid or general relief funds only when rape or incest has been promptly reported to a law enforcement agency or public health service. Two physicians have determined that the life of the mother would be endangered if the fetus were carried to term. where severe and long-lasting physical health damage to the woman would result if the pregnancy were carried to term.
Representative March.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for this amendment.
Amendment number 2 has been moved. Objection is noted. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since we spoke on this elective operation subject last Friday, we've come up with statistics that I would like to use to prove a point, and it's the same thing that Representative Smith was talking about, the amount of monies that are available and perhaps the purpose of monies that were made by this legislative body. The statistics prove that Alaska, being one of the only states, one of eight states, who have an open door policy, tends to have people use our state taxes for purposes that they can well afford on their own. We see here that one question that was brought up the other day is that perhaps we are depriving the poor people from these necessary operations. And sometimes I want to make clear that I hope that when we use the word poor people, that we don't equate that with minority people, because that's not true at all. In this case here, we see by far that 82% of the people seeking abortion relief are white, and the great percentage are between the ages of 20 and 21. And we also see a fact that has been proven out, that it is not the people who have 2, 3, and 4 children who are seeking operations. By far, 92% of the women have no children at all between the ages of 20 and 29. Now, last year, we did come into the problem in the Anchorage area where there was not enough funds available for those who really needed the operation and who qualified on the Medicaid program. I say that this is because the State Department now realizes, since we've been over there looking into records. For instance, in page 2, you see, I'm sorry, in page 1 in the middle, where there's an asterisk, of 300 funded abortions, only 113 were really welfare cases. Now, the other cases, they really don't know who they paid for. We also see a trend of people, and it's over 200 people, that have decided to go out of state to Washington and Oregon to have their abortions. Now, if this is so, how come the State Department, or I should say the Department of Health, is paying for these operations? If they have enough money to go out of state, how come the state here is paying for them? There's a lot of questions that are open, and you might also see that on the comparative standards of cost in Alaska for these one simple operation, the DNS, we're paying $850 per operation. In Seattle, the same operation costs $100. So it makes me wonder what's going on in this. Yes, people might need abortions, but we have to have some kind of control. The 39 states have accepted this amendment, sir, and this is one way that they have found to end the abuses as much as possible. Now, on the third page, and it was just a report that came to me yesterday, I haven't the slightest idea who sent it to me, but it was done by the Communicable Disease Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's our national authority on all kinds of diseases and long-range problems for operations and things like this. And the reason why I added that, sir, is that we are now just finding out the post-operative costs to the woman who feels that right now the answer is to have an abortion. We've got to change our thinking and our attitude and let the people know that, look, if you have an abortion now, facts prove other things, that when you really want your real child, your chances are increased by 85% of having a spontaneous abortion. And these facts are just being found out. Now, I offer this amendment as a safeguard to the people who really feel that they need an abortion for whatever reason. And the extra safeguard is here is that two physicians are involved so that they will help the patient decide what is best for them. Before we get into a terrible problem like in the Los Angeles time here, and I understand that this is happening in other states too, a young lady had an abortion. She was 18 at that time. And since that, she has had such mental problems and frustrations and anxiety, and it is a terrible case. Well, one conclusion to, I guess, solve her problem is that there's now a $17 million lawsuit to the doctor and to the hospital involved because she was not informed of all the complications. So I ask for approval of this amendment for the safety and well-being of our patients. Thank you.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 2. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Eleven yeas, 21 nays, 8 not voting.
Amendment number 2 has failed. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill number 228 amended by the House be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, placed on final passage.
Object. Representative Brown.
Could we have a short at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? There is further amendments. Will the clerk please read Amendment number 3?
Take out that advancement motion. Amendment number 3 by O'Connell. Page 1, lines 14 and 15. Delete the words, or to the manner of the payment for the service.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move and ask unanimous consent for this amendment.
Objection is noted. Representative O'Connell.
Mr. Speaker, I just sort of submit that the language that we're talking about here takes this bill out of the realm of Medicaid, which has been the argument so far, and puts it into a more general category that really is open-ended from the standpoint of a doctor. It seems to me that with that language in there, any member of this body could walk into a thing and, you know, claim immediate pain or suffering, and when they ask him what his method of payment is going to be, they could say charge it, and at that point, of course, I'm sure there aren't any deadbeats in this body, but there's probably lots of them in the state of Alaska.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Leaving aside for a moment the question of deadbeats in the body, the manner of payment for service is precisely the problem in Medicaid coupons being refused. I realize that the generality of the language is what's frightening you here, but that is absolutely essential to solve the Medicaid crisis, which, if you'll recall, is what started this whole shebang.
Representative Metcalf.
Could you read the proposed amendment again?
Amendment number 3 by Mr. O'Connell. Page 1, lines 14 through 15. Delete the words, or to the manner of the payment for the service.
So further debate. Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I fully appreciate that what we're trying to reach here is a problem with Medicaid. But I think we have to realize that we've come up with a solution that goes far beyond the problem of Medicaid and creates whole new problems for the medical profession with the language as written in this bill right now. And I think it's a mistake. I think it's the wrong approach to make for the problem that they're trying to address. We're just creating a whole new
area of problems. I can't think of any other business in the state of Alaska where we're mandating that a person provide some kind of service with no strings attached, which is what it amounts to here. If you take the language of this thing literally, a doctor cannot even ask how a person is going to pay. It doesn't address whether the patient is rich or poor. A millionaire can walk in the door and say, I've got a pain that needs attention right now. And under this law, the doctor doesn't have any recourse to go after the money for that bill.
Representative Metcalf.
Can we have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? The question before the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 3. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Eliason. Representative Smith. Representative Munson. Clerk, please take the final roll.
Ten yeas, 25 nays, 5 not voting.
Amendment number 3 has failed. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 228 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there is no objection, committee substitute for House Bill number 228, as amended by the House, will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill 228, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to discrimination in the provision of health care services.
Is there a debate? Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to speak in favor or against the bill as is. I'm going to merely clarify through the confusion basically what is done. Okay, now the doctors are not subject to any regulation until after the next legislature, after 1980, as amended. And further, in the meantime, they have the opportunity to offer an alternative to that regulation to the legislature of 1980. And three, in the meantime, prior to that, the state is required to address the problem of slow payment. So that's in essence what my amendments have done. So, but I'm not going to take a position on the bill.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have not spoken on this bill or the amendments today, but I do want to point out one thing to this body. Members who have been here for some years will remember the big flap we had about the medical malpractice, and they will remember that this was really a problem in the Anchorage area. We spent a lot of work, a lot of time on it, and finally passed out something to help the doctors as we saw it, had them come around the next year and kick us in the teeth. And it's true, that's what happened. Mr. Speaker, it was pointed out at that time and that this was not a problem in my district of the state. And Mr. Speaker, I'd like to point out that as far as I know, and I think this is fairly accurate information, that this same problem we're trying to address today is not a problem in my part of the state. As far as I know, no one in my district is being refused medical care who needs it because that person needs to use Medicaid. I'd also like to bring two other things to the attention of the body. One is that information I have from one of the largest clinic, which takes care of really about a third of all the medical stuff, is their overhead runs about 63% to 64%. Medicaid does not pay 100%. Medicaid pays 65% of their fees. So they just about break even. Now, when they have delays, as we had here this last year, anybody knows about, and they have to go out and borrow money to keep operating, to pay all the, pay the overhead on the building, the receptionists, the nurses, the, for the equipment, and all the rest of these things, they're actually losing money. And the doctors, at least in this one clinic, are strongly considering just doing away with Medicaid completely and saying, we will treat people for free if they haven't got any money at all. If they can pay part of it, well, they can pay some whatever they can't afford to pay. They would not refuse treatment, but they would rather do that than to break even or maybe lose money with Medicaid and have to go through all the hassle and all the paperwork. And Mr. Speaker, we don't have the capability, unfortunately, of using special or local legislation. It's not permitted by the Constitution. It's unfortunate in some ways because so often these problems seem to be pretty much Anchorage problems that we're having to address with statewide legislation, and when they aren't really problems in other districts.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, this is the first time I've ever seen anybody in this body try to treat pain and suffering as a regional issue. You know, we've never done it before. You know, otitis media isn't a problem in my district, but it is Mr. Guy's. And this legislature responds to that need by appropriating money for it. There are a lot of other health problems that don't affect all areas of the state, and yet we respond to them. And I don't think this problem should be treated as a regional issue. As far as the doctors being willing to junk the whole system and treat people for nothing, they have the option of doing that right now, and certainly isn't being done on a large enough scale that I'm aware of it.
Representative Parr.
I would like to clarify one thing, Mr. Speaker. I did not say that pain and suffering is a regional issue. I said the problem of doctors refusing to treat people because they are using Medicaid, it seems to be located in one area of the state.
The question before the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 228 as amended by the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Chatterton. Representative Brown. The clerk, please take the final roll.
Yeas, 10 nays, 5 not voting.
The House has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 228 as amended by the House. Representative Vanderson.
Mr. Speaker, I think we had added an effective date clause, so at this lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Question for the House is the effective date clause in House Bill 228. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Munson. Are there other members? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, 2 nays, 5 not voting.
House has adopted effective date clause to House Bill number 228. Representative Cotton.
Notice of reconsideration on House Bill 228.
Notice of reconsideration on House Bill 228 is noted.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotton.
I'd like to bring up reconsideration of Senate Bill 240 at this time.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 240 by the Commerce Committee. An act continuing the existence of the State Medical Board and amending the laws regulating the medical profession and providing for an effective date.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 240 is before the House on reconsideration. Representative Cotton. House Police Entities. Will the House please come back to order? There is a proposed amendment to Senate Bill 240. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Parker, Cotton, and Chatterton. Page 2, line 24. Add the text of Committee Substitute for House Bill 228 as amended by the House.
Representative Cotton. Motion has been made to return to second reading for purposes of adopting specific amendment, which has just been read. Objection is noted. Is there debate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Metcalf? Representative Martin? Will clerk please lock the take the final roll.
Eighteen yeas, 10 nays, 12 not voting.
Motion has failed. Representative Cotton. House will be at ease. Members, please stay. The House, please come back to order. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I now move to rescind our action in failing to return to second reading for the purposes of the amendment that's on the clerk's desk. If that motion passes, then I'll make another motion to return to second reading. And there'll be yet another motion to adopt the amendment.
I think I even understand that now. The motion is to rescind our action in failing to adopt the motion to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment. Is there any debate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
24 yeas, 12 nays, 4 not voting.
The House has rescinded its action. The motion question before the body now is the motion to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
23 yeas, 13 nays, 4 not voting.
The House has returned to second reading for purposes of specific amendment. Will clerk please read the proposed amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Parker, Cotton, and Chatterton. Page 2, line 24. Add text of CS for HB 228 as amended by the House.
Representative Parker.
Speaker, I move the adoption of the amendment number, whatever it is.
Three.
Amendment has been moved. Objection is noted. The question before the House is the adoption of amendment number 3 to Senate Bill 240. Representative O'Connell.
Could we have an at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? There is a proposed amendment to Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read the amendment to Amendment Number 3?
Amendment to Amendment Number 3 by Halford. Change page 2. Change appropriate section of added 228 text to read, denial of treatment relates to the method of payment being any publicly funded medical aid program.
Representative Halford.
I move the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Halford.
Thank you. I think we've covered this thing with a pretty broad brush, and the amendment to the amendment brings it back to the specific problem that we're dealing with without going into some areas that we're not sure what the effects are going to be.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, I support the amendment.
Representative O'Connell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Could we have just so that the record is clear, where does that amendment go again?
Mr. Halford?
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? For purpose of clarification, I will read the language as it would read under Mr. Halford's proposed amendment to the amendment. This is in Section 1 of the bill, 228. If the amendment were adopted, the language would read, discrimination in the provision of medical assistance to a patient or person seeking emergency treatment, if the sole reason for the denial of treatment relates to the method of payment being any publicly funded medical aid program. Representative Halford.
I think, Mr. Speaker, I think we did amend that seeking emergency treatment out of there.
And we added a definition under Representative Parker's amendment. The question before the House is the adoption of the amendment to Amendment Number 3. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Seven nays, four not voting.
The amendment to Amendment Number 3 has been adopted. The question before the House now is the adoption of Amendment Number 3 as amendment. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Representative Smith. Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
20 yeas, 16 nays, 4 not voting.
Amendment Number 3, as amended, has been adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 240, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 240, House Committee substitute Senate Bill 240, as amended by the House, will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill on third reading?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 240, amended by the House by the Commerce Committee. An act continuing the existence of the State Medical Board and amending the laws regulating the medical profession and providing for an effective date.
Question.
Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, we've sure had a lot of amendments on this bill and on 228, and I just was unable to follow them, and I suspect a lot of other people were unable to follow them also. Sometimes I wasn't even sure of the exact nature of the amendment that I was voting on here, and I don't think it's good to write legislation on the floor. So I think the smart thing to do here is to send this bill back to Commerce Committee and have Commerce Committee look it over now and bring it back to us before we do something that's dumb. It's 12 o'clock now. I'm not sure what we've been doing here for 2 hours. There are some days when we probably should just adjourn and go home. And today is probably one of those good days because we really haven't accomplished, I don't think, very much this morning. So I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Bill 240 go back to Commerce Committee for review. Thank you.
The motion for the body is a motion to return Senate Bill 240 to the Commerce Committee. Representative Byrne?
Well, I heard some objections, and I'd like to hear from those people who are objecting as to why they object to that. I think that's a very sensible solution to what we have before us now.
Representative Byrne, the last amendment to the amendment was confusing, but might note that it was a member of the minority, and although I could have probably ruled it out of order, because it does, under some interpretations, it may take a separate motion to return for that amendment. I did allow the amendment. Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I never thought I would see the prior speaker stand up and ask this House to take an action which could result in the elimination of the Board of Medical Examiners. That really is what could happen. We are on a time schedule here. I may have some problems with this or that amendment myself, depending on the particular issue. I'll tell you this, if that bill goes back to Commerce Committee, you might not see it for a while.
Question for the body is a motion to return Senate Bill 240 to the Commerce Committee. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Barnes. Are there other members? Representative Randolph. The clerk may take final roll.
Ten yeas, 26 nays, four not voting.
The motion to return to the Commerce Committee has failed. The question before the House is the final passage of Senate Bill 240. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I think Mr. Brown probably frightened people with his remarks there. And I can see that there is a danger, and I appreciate what he has to say. So at this time, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the bill go back to the House Health Committee, where I think we can handle it there. Thank you. Well, I'd like to hear the reasons for objections to that now.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Speaker, I think we spent enough time on this bill.
Representative Buckle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did hold extensive hearing as far as, you know, those little bills go with House Bill 228, and I would object to having it back in Hess Committee.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to speak in sympathy of Mr. Byrne's motion. I think what we've done here in the last couple of hours is the basic reason that there's so much disenchantment with the process out in the hinterlands as there is. We've taken two bills, one of which Mr. Brown very accurately explains to us that has to pass, or we do some severe damage, or at least make it take a very severe action toward the medical board. And we've tacked to that at least one other major bill. And now we're in a box. Everybody's in a box. You got to vote. It's a bad process. And almost everybody on the floor knows it's a bad process. One gets used an awful lot. And the next few days or weeks, whatever it turns out to be, we're going to be here. We're going to see it used a lot more. And I'm against the process. I know the vote's going to go to, not to send it back to committee. And probably that might even be a proper vote under the time constraints in which we find ourselves. But it's a very poor way to do business.
The question before the House.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Byrne.
I think some days are just bad days, and I'll move and ask unanimous consent that we adjourn until tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
It's a motion to adjourn. It's not debatable. Members may proceed to vote. Representative Brown.
It is amendable as to time. I'll change it to 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. I so move.
Representative Brown has moved an amendment to the adjournment motion. Question for the body is Mr. Brown's motion to amend the adjournment motion to adjourn till 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Yeas, 20 nays, 4 not voting.
Amendment has failed. The motion before the body is a motion to adjourn. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Eight yeas, 28 nays, 4 not voting.
Motion to adjourn has failed. The motion for the body is the motion to refer Senate Bill 240 to the Hess Committee. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Barnes. Clerk may take final roll.
Nine yeas, 27 nays, 4 not voting.
The motion to return to the Commerce Committee has failed. The question before the body, Representative Byrne.
Well, just a brief comment, Mr. Speaker. You know, when most of us don't pay our bills, we go to jail. But this is what happens when the state doesn't pay its bills.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I just, maybe about 30 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago, just voted for House Bill 228. In essence, the amendment is being attached to this bill. Now, originally, and I'm an advocate of the sunset legislation, I have been since I've been in this body, but I object to tacking on a bill to a sunset provision when we're supposed to be reviewing the medical board.
Question for the body is the final passage of House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 240 as amended by the House. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
Twenty-seven yeas, 9 nays, 4 not voting.
House has passed. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 240. Representative Vanderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call and the effective date clause. Will be the plan of the House to adjourn for lunch until 1:15. Recess for lunch. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in recess till 1:15.
House is in recess. If there's no objection, the House will stand in recess till 1:15.